Say, kids, what time is it?
While many baby boomers stayed glued to the TV weekdays at 5:30 for the Howdy Doody show, Stephen Davis was one of the lucky ones. He was a frequent member of the Peanut Gallery because his father, Howard Davis, worked at NBC and became the director, then chief writer of the program. Stephen Davis grew up to be a rock critic. After writing books about reggae star Bob Marley and the heavy metal band Led Zeppelin, he decided to return to Dutyville. His new history of TV's first hit show for children is titled Say Kids, What Time Is It? I asked Stephen Davis if he used to enjoy the Howdy Doody show.
You know, one of the problems with the Howdy Doody show is that it went off the air so long ago that I didn't really know if I enjoyed it or not. I was kind of shocked when I went back to do the research and got the old kinescopes at how exploitative and how vulgar the show could be. Howdy Doody was an incredible merchandising success. Over 600 items were sold via the show. So a lot of the shows you can't put on today simply because they're mostly advertising and merchandising pitches.
Well, that takes care of the exploitative. How is it vulgar?
Well, let me take that back, Terry. I don't really think it's vulgar in this sense, except in the sense that the commercialism on the Howdy Doody show was so blatant as it probably didn't look so bad in the 1950s, but within the context of the late 1980s, the post-Sesame Street generation, the commerciality on the Howdy Doody show looks relentless and very intrusive and indeed kind of vulgar.
For our listeners who don't remember the show or who, in fact, never watched it, can you just review who some of the characters were?
Sure. The Howdy Doody show was on NBC every weekday at 5:30, around the time when Mom was getting dinner together back in the secure 1950s. And the show centered around a mythical town called Dutyville, which was and Dutyville was presided over by a puppet named Howdy Doody and his human sidekick, Buffalo Bob Smith, actually. And some of Buffalo Bob's cohorts included Princess Summerfall Winterspring, or I should say the legendary Princess Summerfall Winterspring, and Chief Thunderthud, and most of all, Clarabelle. His whole name was actually Clarabelle Hornblow, but Clarabelle was a mute clown who signified yay or nay by either honking a horn that he wore on a box around his belt or else by squirting other members of the cast with a vicious blast of cold seltzer.
There was also a studio audience of children, and they were in what was called the Peanut Gallery. One of, I think, the shocking revelations in your book is that Clarabelle, the clown, was the disciplinarian for the kids in the Peanut Gallery.
Yeah, you know, that was one of the first great bouts of disillusionment underwent by many of the kids who were members of the Peanut Gallery. As it turned out, Clarabelle was indeed an agent of social control. And a lot of people I talked to have very strong memories of being told to shut up by Clarabelle just prior to airtime. But you have to remember that this was a live network show and the commercials had to be performed properly. And the last thing they wanted were a bunch of unruly 7-year-olds yelling during the ads. So just before airtime, Clarabelle's trick was to tell the kids very harshly to shut up. And it would blow the Peanuts' minds completely. They had no idea that A, Clarabelle would speak, and B, that he was he was kind of the cop in Dutyville.
You write in your book that one of the ugly secrets of the Howdy Doody show was that you had to know someone to get into the Peanut Gallery. You had to have a connection.
Yes, one of Dutyville's dark secrets was that the Peanut Gallery was not open to the public. And this really became a shock to American people because back in the early 1950s, it was considered immense family prestige to be able to see your child live on the Howdy Doody show. Unfortunately, the Peanut Gallery only had space for 40 kids, and this was rather rigidly enforced by the local New York fire marshal. And so you had to know somebody. You had to know a cast or a crew member, or even better, one of the show's advertisers or merchandisers.
I always wanted to know how Howdy Doody got the look that he did, vaguely Western, with a flannel shirt and a bandana around his neck, dungarees, cowboy boots. Never really made sense to me. What was the image about?
Well, it really, you know, Howdy Doody was born on the radio. He started out as a radio voice of a New York disc jockey named Bob Smith. And Howdy's original name was Elmer. And he appeared on a Saturday morning quiz show that Buffalo Bob did in those days called the Triple B Ranch on the NBC radio network. And he had this really dumb kind of yokel voice, which kept saying, "Howdy doody, boys and girls." And the reason it became a Western voice was because that was what the Elmer voice sounded like, kind of a rube, a cowboy, you know, somebody from the frontier, a rough dude, so to speak. And that's where Howdy Doody and the chaps and jeans and dungarees come from.
Then there was Clarabelle, who was played initially by Bob Keeshan, who went on to become Captain Kangaroo. Now, I didn't know that. Was that common knowledge that the guy who played Clarabelle was later Captain Kangaroo?
Well, the whole Clarabelle and Bobby Keeshan story is a really fascinating one. Clarabelle started out because Bobby Keeshan was an NBC page who worked for Bob Smith. And he started out handing presents to kids in the peanut gallery. And one day, an NBC vice president named Warren Wade got tired of seeing this guy in a sports jacket. And he said, "Someone put a clown suit on that guy." And overnight, at least by 1949, Clarabelle was, in many ways, the national figure to have come out of the Howdy Doody show, this mute, anarchist, seltzer-spraying clown. The great irony in the Bob Keeshan story is that he led a labor walkout 2 years later, and they fired the whole cast of the Howdy Doody show. 2 years later, he showed up again on CBS as Captain Kangaroo and was on the air for another 30 years. You know, it's the longest network run in the history of television.
Then there was Princess Summer Fall Winter Spring. When she left the show, she had the beginning of a terrific career.
Yeah, it's true. Princess Summer Fall Winter Spring was introduced to the Howdy Doody show in 1950 because they didn't think that enough little girls were watching the show. They thought Howdy and the Doodyville gang were too masculine. So after some false starts, they hired a beautiful 16-year-old actress named Judy Tyler. And she was really a sensation. She had been a dancer at the Copacabana nightclub in New York at the age of 15. And when she went on the air in late 1950, she caused a national furor. It was the first time that a beautiful adolescent girl had ever been on American television. And she was so gorgeous and so talented that even some of the Peanuts noticed that their fathers were coming home early to watch the princess cavort on the Howdy Doody show. And indeed, eventually she outgrew her role and in around 1954 left the show and did some Broadway. And then she went to Hollywood and had a screen test, which was seen by Elvis Presley, the Big E himself. And he said, "I want this girl for Jailhouse Rock." So Judy Tyler, Princess Summer Fall Winter Spring, was Elvis Presley's co-star in Jailhouse Rock. And one of the great tragedies in Say Kids, What Time Is It? Was I learned that 4 days after finishing filming Jailhouse Rock, Judy and her husband were killed in a car crash. And Elvis was so upset that he refused to see the movie. So it's another irony that neither Judy Tyler nor Elvis Presley ever lived to see what was probably Elvis's best movie.
You attribute the demise of the Howdy Doody show to the birth of the Mickey Mouse Club.
Right. The Mickey Mouse Club came on in late 1954 and at 5 o'clock, and it pretty much devastated Howdy. By the time Howdy came on at 5:30, Uncle Walt Disney's very attractive gang of Mouseketeers really had taken over the minds of American children, me included, and my father worked on the show. So, yes, the mouse from California had a big hand in killing Howdy Doody.
Do you think Buffalo Bob Smith still wants to revive the show?
Oh, he's trying to. They're, over Thanksgiving weekend, they're on the Fox Broadcasting Network, there's a two-hour 40th anniversary. Yeah, I think that everybody involved with the show would like nothing better than to get it back on the air on a regular basis.
Tell me the truth. Do you think it's worth reviving?
Oh, I hope they don't revive it. I really think that Howdy Doody deserves a dim corner in the memory of the baby boom generation instead of a bunch of grandfathers running around in makeup. Although, on the other hand, I certainly miss the flying seltzer and the spontaneity and that wonderful bray of 40 hysterical children's voices that I used to hear in the Peanut Gallery. I mean, that stuff will be with me all my life.
Stephen, thanks a lot for talking with us.
Terry, thank you so much.
Stephen Davis is the author of Say Kids, What Time Is It?